The government has put its new CO2 targets at 43% reduction by 2030, and it's gone through the lower house. The Greens have this time decided to support emissions targets. So the Senate has only one more senator needed to pass the upper house as well. Senator Pocock seems to be the most likely choice, and I asked Dr. Stuart Jackson, senior lecturer in politics at the University of Sydney, whether this was a bit of a breakthrough for the ALP.
It is. Vance, in his speech at the press club, reiterated that climate change is the key issue for them, whether it's national security issues or whether it's development, the current EPBC Act, Environment Protection and Biodiversity Act, this Biodiversity and Conservation Act that is up for review, the climate change is the key issue. They will support this bill with some amendments. They've been negotiating with the government. The government's come to the table and discussed it with them. They'll have a range of, as I say, amendments to make. That will be agreed, and they will pass the package or the bill as a whole. It doesn't mean that they are waving the white flag, as it were, about pushing on no new coal and gas. He made it very clear during the press club speech that he would be pushing further. Indeed, in response to one question, says he will use whatever mechanisms they can consider to slow down or at least undermine new gas fields, particularly Beetaloo, but also Narrabri and indeed Scarborough. As you know, these are new developments, not existing developments, so they're not realised yet. It's not as if workers will be out of work. We do have a massive employment issue in that we have such low employment. Where are workers going to come from? He did touch on wages as well, insofar as wages have flatlined, yet profits have gone up, and we have unemployment at a record low. What's going on? Normally you'd expect wages to be rising. Anyway, it was a fiery speech, full on. It was actually a really forthright speech. He answered the questions, I thought, very well, took on board where people had concerns, talked of de-escalation in Ukraine, but said the best way to take on some of these petro-dictators or gas dictators, as it were, is stop buying their material. So stop buying Putin's gas and there goes his money. So one way to de-escalate Ukraine.
The defence strategy review is going ahead, and it was announced that previous Defence Minister Stephen Smith would head this up. And this met with some pretty mixed reactions. I think one commentator saying he was the worst Minister of Defence in 70 years. So how do you think this is going to pan out?
I can remember them saying another former defence minister, from memory, was Joel Fitzgibbon, was the worst in living memory. We've had a few interesting ministers over the years. Some have been very much in defence's pockets. Others have been less so. John Faulkner, who was widely praised as being defence minister by both sides of politics because he was prepared to take on defence at their own game in terms of high-spending department.
And what about Bomber Beazley? He would have been a good choice, wouldn't he?
Well, I mean, he would have been a good choice, certainly been around politics long enough. I think there comes a time when you have to move off some of the same old people. Smith's not a bad choice. He's a younger man.
But, I mean, what do you think we're going to get out of this anyway? Is it really looking at what assets we should buy?
It's going to look at our Defence Force posture. Unfortunately, it won't do, actually, as Bant reiterated, you know, look at an independent foreign policy and exactly how do we defend ourselves as Australia as opposed to simply being an arm of the US with these new nuclear submarines. Will it look at it? It will probably look at the ground forces, the Army. The Navy will always ask for more things, and, in fact, they've been given this nuclear submarines, so they can't ask for more. Will it look to the Air Force? I suspect it will. We've got the F-35 strike fighters, but there are apparently some problems with them. And then, you know, there's several of the aging fleets of tanks and the like. So I expect that to be a ramp up to not just replace materials, but to potentially increase what we have in case we get dragged into somebody else's war.
Dr. Stuart Jackson, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, and speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to The Wire, around Australia on the Community Radio Network.